I call to order the Higher Education and Career Readiness Policy and Finance Committee. And our first item is the minutes, if you can find them. Let me read them quickly and make motion to approve.
I would make that motion.
Representative Heitzman moves the minutes from March the 6th. Any discussion, corrections? Not all those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, the minutes are approved. We have several bills today. We have, to begin with, just a small order of business on House File 3051, which is a bill we passed last session. And I'm going to offer, we need to make a technical change, so I'll offer the House File 3051 DE1 amendment. And these are technical changes brought to us by the Minnesota Management and Board. So, is anyone prepared over there to explain this, Sean?
Mr. Chair and committee members, essentially, the bill is designed to address some concerns that Minnesota Management and Budget brought forward regarding the language for the appropriations for some loan forgiveness programs administered by the Office of Higher Education. So the language in the 2017 omnibus bill appropriated funds to OHE for those programs, and the statutory language for the programs established separate accounts for each of them. So technically, because these programs have separate accounts in a special revenue fund, the language for the appropriation rider should have read a transfer to the respective account for each program. So this bill amends the riders for the appropriations and changes the language to read a transfer rather than an appropriation. And it additionally clarifies and sort of harmonizes the statutory language for each program and makes it clear that sort of each of these programs have a separate account in the special revenue fund and that the accounts are sort of consistent from program to program.
Any questions? If not, hearing none, all those in favor of the passing, because we have to pass the amendment first, right? So all those in favor of
Mr. Chair,
maybe out of order.
I just have a concern. Is the bill before us now?
Yes.
So there's a motion on this bill before us now. What's the motion?
To adopt the amendment.
Mr. Chair, in order to amend something, wouldn't we have to have the bill before us before we could amend it? So wouldn't there have to be a motion to say the House File 3051 is before the committee and recommended to go somewhere? Or, I mean, where was the bill before I got it in the green folder?
We passed this last year.
We passed it where?
Here.
To where?
Okay. Okay. It's being clarified to me. This is not the bill that we passed. This is a new bill.
Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Pulowski, that's correct. This is a new bill that is amending the appropriations riders from last year's omnibus higher education bill and then making some changes to the statutory language for these higher loan forgiveness programs. So,
I appreciate that, but wouldn't we have to have the bill before the committee before we amend it?
Yes. We can still do that. We haven't voted on the amendment. So that's automatic.
All right. I'm just trying to get clarity here that the bill is – You're presenting the bill and you're saying you recommend House File 3051 be recommended to pass,
right.
And now the bill's before the committee. And then we offer an amendment to the bill that then corrects the bill, and then if we would take action on the bill, and maybe you're going to hold it over or do something else, but I think the bill has to be before the committee.
I thought I may have done that when I offered the bill at the opening, but maybe I didn't state it correctly.
All right.
Then I offered the amendment to that. Again, we can't play this back and exactly hear what we've actually said. So
no, that's okay. If there is a motion before us to pass the bill, we're passing it somewhere, correct?
I think this is going to be laid over.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just trying to figure out what we've got and where it's going to go.
Okay. Now, if you'd like me, we can start over again, and I can offer it. So everybody's clear.
I think if the committee administrator knows what's going on and can reflect that in the minutes, we'll be okay.
But right now we were going to vote on the bill finally as amended, if that's agreeable to everyone. First of all, yeah, we need to vote to adopt the amendment.
Yes.
Okay?
Okay.
Shall we do
that? And that's where I was having some difficulty because I wasn't sure what was exactly before the committee.
Okay. Okay. All those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. So the amendment is adopted. Now we need to pass, or we'll lay the bill over as amended. Is that all we need to do? Okay.
Okay. All Thank right. you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Sorry for any confusion. It'll get better. We have some bills, more bills to talk about, and we have, let's see, which one? There we go. House File 3351. Anselmo, that's your bill?
Right here.
They're here. Okay. The three bills we're going to be dealing with today, our intent is to, we'll be sending a letter to a recommendation to the Bonding Committee, Committee on Capital Investment. So that's the action we'll take today. Representative Anselmo, your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Dario Anselmo, and I am here to present Bill House File 3351. We're looking to go into a little more detail for the HEPA bill, the bonding request of $200 million. And I would like to thank all of my co-authors for the bill, the ones that are here and the ones that are not here. And we had a bipartisan effort, which was helpful. Right now, the HEPA request is the number one priority for the University of Minnesota. It's something that they need to do, well, capital improvements every year, but spending the big money is what they get to do in the bonding session. This is a bill, of course, to help with replacing the mechanical and HVAC and mechanical systems and other critical items that are important to higher learning and research. And we're looking to renew these things and improve the facilities, and as those are the things that we need to do to make sure that this institution is competitive in the 21st century. I've got 29 million square feet of real estate that needs a lot of maintenance, and it's something that's important. We've got a number of students that attend there just in the Twin Cities campus alone. We've got 50,000. We've got five campuses throughout the state. It's great to see that we're spending money in all of them. More money, of course, is going to be spent in the Twin Cities, which is where the larger capital projects are. I think the thing that stood out to me when I look at this as a business person, I'm actually in the commercial real estate world, is what we need to do in terms of taking care of our facilities and educating our students. As a small business person, I look at what the university has produced, and 10,000 startup companies have come out of the University of Minnesota, its students and its alumni. I'm happy to say that Edina has got a large portion of graduates, as a number of other members that are here. And I'm going to turn this over so we can get some testimony and move forward. And before you do that, there are some treats that I brought. This is my first bill as a freshman, I think, in front of the higher ed committee. Those are non-flammable donuts, so you can pass those around and enjoy those at your pleasure. Thank you.
Welcome. Please identify yourself for the record and then proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Don't be distracted by Heitzman and his donut delivery business.
I won't be. My name is Mike Gertelson. I'm the Vice President for University Services at the University of Minnesota, and thank you for welcoming us back. We were here just yesterday, so I won't go into the programmatic benefits of HEPA, just a few stats about the projects and the process for us. You saw the six-year, this is our state request in front of you for investment and appropriation. It's important for me to identify that this is year one of a six-year capital plan. So we do have a six-year looking out for all the systems, all the facilities, that we set priorities over multiple years and multiple fund sources. This is that has now risen to the top in year one of the six-year request that we are seeking funds from you. It's also important for me to say that the university has refocused this six-year plan this session, especially focusing and emphasizing HEPA as related to a conversation that was in the committee yesterday about the size and the size of our need relative to the size of our request, that this is very focused on capital renewal. HEPA, as you know, is identified in state statute. to address health and safety, building systems, utility infrastructure. We allocate HEPR across the system based on a formulaic basis for each of the campuses as to how much space they have and the facility condition for each of their facilities. Within that allocation, we select projects which have been highlighted and prioritized relative to our facility condition needs assessment, which identifies issues of risk and existing condition. So we target the things that are most pressing of need. Overall, total that facility condition needs assessment has identified that over the next 10 years, we should be looking for as much as $4 billion worth of need. You can see in the pink, about a 32% of our space is in poor critical shape. Those are facilities often that have a very high need, a very targeted priority for us, and over 50% of our 260 structures are over 50 years old. Therefore, the significance and focus of our request on renewal. But we also know that we don't just can't just buy our way up. We're not just looking to the state to fund all these things. And some of that is funded by auxiliaries, things like housing, which out of their rates, we fund and prioritize and pay for many projects of self-renewal out of those auxiliaries. In addition to that, we've over the last since 2000, we've renovated 2.7 million square feet of space. So we have made significant progress addressing those needs. And we know that not all spaces are worth further investment. Since 2000, we've demolished 700,000 square feet of space and are actively working and planning for how we could, in the next number of years, take down another million square feet that we don't think is worth continued investment. But when we do get funds, we are quite adept and practiced in getting that money out the door and in buildings and projects quickly. Of the funds that you've given us since 2011, over 90% is spent and encumbered already, and nearly another $10 million is in process soon to be bid out. And so we get that money spent quickly. In fact, of those set of projects, $138 million of HEPR have been awarded to over 225 different contractors from 75 Minnesota cities and 30 counties. So though they are making investments in the University of Minnesota, they also are creating jobs across the state of Minnesota. As we look for this $200 million, we are prepared to make significant progress quickly. Over 15% or $30 million of this $200 million is already designed and ready to award as soon as you give us the green light. Another 54% or $100 million would be ready to be spent and covered within the next 6 months. And as the President said yesterday, all $200 million within 24 months. So there's our quick summary, and I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Members, questions? Representative Daniels.
Thank you, Chair. Just some, it's a huge amount, and everybody understands that $200 million is a big price tag. Any chance that the legislature would get some information on as you go through the bid process, just kind of overview some of the bids and see what's kind of happening as it progresses?
Mr. Bertelson. Mr. Chair, Representative, we're glad to share progress of any particular request as the committee would want. And when things that happen, one of the things that benefits a PEPR that you get for it, get from this process is as projects move ahead, if we're able to bid a project for less than we anticipated, that funds are quickly, then we have the next project ready to go and instantly turn that to the next project and work very hard to get as many projects funded out of this resource as possible.
Follow-up, Jim, Mr.
Representative Daniels.
Thanks. And then we were asking, I believe it was yesterday, on a prioritizing of those different jobs around that spreadsheet. Was there anything? I know the Minnesota State had theirs prioritized 1 through, like, 13. Do we have anything that we'd be able to get? So if you don't get the full $200 million, you know, what would be the exact things you could actually accomplish with less than $200 million?
Mr. Bertels. Mr. Chair, Representative, so I believe Minsky had prioritized most of their HEPR first and then their other standalone projects, as we have done. So we have, before here, this is the prioritized list. Within the $200 million, the prioritization, as the President said yesterday, is somewhat building of a jigsaw puzzle. So we have smaller projects and larger projects. What we've typically done for the legislature As you think about particular sizes, we are glad and prepared to give you what the set of projects would be at any given dollar amount that you would request. Within that, how do we go about setting priorities within that each of these amounts, even to get to this, because we had many hundreds of million dollars more that wanted to get in this list. We set priorities around, first, human safety, then secondly, around facility longevity and stewardship, so making sure things like water stays out so the building isn't going to get worse. Then we look at reliability, maintaining the program within, so the power, all the systems work and function. And then fourth, we look at kind of programmatic support or the aging of building, which, and how reliable they are from a maintenance and cost. So that's sort of the, those are the categories that go into our setting priorities, and those are sort of the order by which we look at them.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Representative Bailey? I'm Pryor. I get two mixed up. Pryor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could you give us a sense, too, of if it was not this bonding year that these projects were bonded in, would it be that the buildings become, you know, offline, you can't use them anymore, or just the cost of these repairs would be going up in the future? And is there a sense of inaction, what the cost of inaction would be if they're not bonded and the repairs are not started?
Mr. Chair and Representative, it's a combination. It's obviously with this many projects, well over 100 projects, it's different answers for each of those. In global terms, for every year, generally construction inflation's looking around 4% a year. So that depends on the kind of project and the space in the state, so it's not a set number. In addition to what's the risk of that, there's a certain amount of playing roulette when it comes to buildings at a certain age. Can I guarantee you or tell you exactly which system is going to fail or which pipe is going to burst? I can't. I can just tell you the odds are, the risk increases as time proceeds for something to go wrong. Now, we will address those, you know, from a repair or a patching or, you know, a classic duct tape sort of solution. But I can tell you that the risk for them increases. There's no particular building that here that, as of anything we know today, would say that I have to shut that tomorrow. But the odds of increased maintenance costs, repair costs, and impact of program increases as time goes on.
All right. Any other questions? Oh, Representative Omar.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just looking at the recommendation that the governor made for this particular project, and the request that the author is making is a little bit less than what the governor recommended. So I'm just wondering why we're asking for a little less, and if the author would actually be interested in getting a request in for the full amount that the governor recommends.
Mr. Bertelson.
Mr. Chair, Representative, and then I'll defer to the author. The Board of Regents, from the university's perspective, the Board of Regents had approved a $200 million request. We were pleasantly surprised by the focus on this topic from the governor. We would be glad and are fully prepared to give you a list for $250 million as well, as opposed to just reducing it. And it was a matter of just how much is realistic, and we were pleasantly surprised and be very excited if there was more to address these needs. Representative
Anselmo.
Mr. Chair, Representative Omar, I think it would be great for us, and I always believe in the axiom that you need to kind of under-promise and over-deliver. And if they can do that here, I'd be happy to go get some more money if possible.
All right. Any other? Hearing none, and final comments?
I just want to thank again the committee for hearing this bill and considering this. I think everyone knows here that investing in human capital and human potential is important, and you need to do that with physical capital also. It's important you make those investments now. If not, it's going to cost you more later in both terms. I would like to ask that this bill at least advanced for inclusion in the next committee.
Thank you.
Thank you.
House File 3351, then, will be laid over. Thank you very much. Next, we have House File 3063, Representative Bliss. And the chair will move House File 3063. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And go ahead and present your bill.
First off, I want to say that I am also a freshman with first time presenting in front of your committee, and as soon as the page is available over there, you're all welcome to a sugar high for the day. So it's a second treat coming your way. House File 3063 is a bonding request for Bemidji State University. Bemidji State's a beautiful campus sitting right on the shores of Lake Bemidji. And we have a building up there and that's actually partially below the lake level. And we have some problems with almost an underground swimming pool at times. So the bonding request is to completely remove that building and put in a smaller building and also update a lot of the other buildings on campus. And with me today, I have Dr. Hensrud, who is the president of Bemidji State University, and she's going to go over a little bit of the history of the project for you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Nornes and members of the committee. My name is Faith Hensrud, and I'm president of Bemidji State University and Northwest Technical College. I want to thank Representative Bliss for sponsoring House File 3063, appropriating funds to replace Hagsauer Hall at Bemidji State University. On behalf of my colleagues across Minnesota State, I thank you for your past support of all of our campuses through HEPR and capital bonding requests. I specifically want to thank you for the funding that resulted in the renovation of Memorial Hall on BSU's campus, which reopened in 2015. This was a gymnasium and now houses our business and accounting students and faculty within a state-of-the-art facility. It combines the architectural features of a building that was very well built in 1940 and transformed it into a high-tech, high-touch learning environment. Unfortunately, the construction of Hagsauer, which was built in 1970, does not have the same benefits of Memorial Hall in regard to high-quality construction. Hagsauer was built next to Lake Bemidji. However, it did not take advantage of the natural environment and the beauty of the area. In addition, the existing building, with its proximity to the lake, has significant issues with water seepage into the basement. The deferred maintenance on this one building alone is $6.2 million. The building is also flawed in design, as the tiered classrooms with fixed tables and chairs do not allow for the accommodation of students or faculty with limited mobility or physical disabilities. And the faculty offices are all tucked away on the third floor in a maze of hallways, making it difficult and even uninviting for student-faculty interaction. Demolition and replacement of the 48-year-old Hagsauer Hall will result in a smaller, modern Hagsauer Hall and will allow for renovations to redistribute faculty offices into four other campus buildings. The proposed nearly 28,000-square-foot Hagsauer Hall will reduce the building by two-thirds, or 55,000 square feet, and the renovation of spaces in four other buildings will result in greater efficiency in those buildings. The new building features advanced technology and a variety of flexible classrooms designed to promote collaboration and actively engage students in learning. It will reduce utility costs by $22,000 a year, maximize natural light, use LED light fixtures, and cut maintenance costs by $44,000 annually. The demolition and new construction and renovation will erase a total of $9.3 million backlog of deferred maintenance, much of it related to water intrusion from a faulty design. And additionally, a gain in use of BSU's academic space will remedy a concern about space utilization campus-wide. while also reducing the institution's carbon footprint thanks to the building's smaller size and LEED certified design. The handout that you received at the top of page 3, titled Campus-Wide Improvements, refers to renovations that will occur in 4 of our other buildings to allow faculty offices to move to set the stage for demolition and reconstruction of Hag Sauer. The timeline for this project actually began in 2014 when the design work for this project was approved. If funded, work will begin in November 2018 with the renovation in the 4 buildings to allow for faculty relocation. In summer 2019, with the spaces newly renovated, faculty offices will be moved, and demolition of Hag Sauer will allow for the start of new building construction. We anticipate that in fall of 2020, the construction of the new Hag Sauer Hall will be complete. In summary, the project will be a vital step to reinvigorating the learning environment for the 5,100 students at Bemidji State University. It provides highly interactive, high-tech learning spaces. It eliminates nearly $10 million in deferred maintenance. It resolves the concerns that we have of our ability to accommodate students and faculty with disabilities. And it improves our energy efficiency, space utilization, and reduces costs. Yesterday, you heard Chancellor Devinda Malhotra in the Minnesota State present the 2018 capital investment request for the system, with asset preservation and replacement as the number one priority overall, and Bemidji State's Hag Sauer project as the number two priority for capital bonding. I want to thank the committee for taking the time to hear this bill and for the opportunity to speak with you today. Thank you, and I invite your questions.
Thank you for being here. Representative Pulaski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is for the author or for the president. It may be also a system question. Can you explain why on line 1.11 through line 0.14, this sentence has been inserted into the bill?
You repeat that again, Representative Pulaski.
On lines 1.1, with the start of this appropriation is available, through lines 1.14, can you explain the meaning of that language? I'm not familiar with that in a higher ed bill, so I'd like to know why it's in this one.
Well, to be honest with you, I just got this from the revisor's office. I assume that they're legal people when they drafted the bill.
Mr. Chair, could staff explain why this is in the bill?
We'll ask anyone over in the corner.
Mr. Chair, Representative Pulaski, we can follow up with our bonding expert in our office and get back to you on that.
Mr. Chair, and I raise it because it's language that's usually in a legacy bill, but not a higher ed bill. It appears to do something I don't think you want, but appearances are always deceiving. That's why I found it curious that it's here. So I just cautioned the author and the president that I would take a close look at that sentence, and you may want that sentence deleted.
I will certainly follow up with the revisor and the bonding committee, and if it requires changing, I believe the next step is the bonding committee, and we'll offer an amendment.
And before that, we'll hold it over, and if there's a chance if something needs to be changed, we can do that.
Well, Mr. Chair, I would suggest if you do to delete it, because I think it does something that I didn't hear either one of the presenters say they want done.
We'll get an opinion, and then we'll move on from there. So I appreciate you bringing that up. You have very eagle eyes. Well, I was just going to point out that, speaking of seeing, whoever staked out the university campus, I don't know who that was, but they did a good job. You must have, and I'm going to be in trouble by saying this, but I think you're probably one of the nicest-looking campuses. That's only one by a lake, I think, but maybe I'm wrong there, too. But
Mr. Chair?
I guess maybe Duluth is close to a lake. But
you can see the lake from there.
Yeah. You're on the lake.
We're celebrating our 100th anniversary starting this year, so very exciting. I can't take credit for the placement.
No, but the picture is very nice. And I have, as I said before, I have been there. And I'll come back. So any other questions of the author or the presenter? I guess you did a really good job. So thank you for being here. And any final comments from Representative List?
Thank you, committee and Mr. Chair, and I appreciate your support. Thank you.
Okay. And House File 3063 will be just laid over for later consideration. All right. Next, House File 1111. Well, Chair will offer House File 1111 for Representative Pearson and friends.
You're moving the House File 1111?
It's not moving very far.
Okay, very good.
Basically going to stay here for a while.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the Higher Ed Committee. House File 1111 is addressing similar needs in the community of Rochester, our community and technical college facility, which houses a number of actually learning institutions, and really dealing with a decrepit, outdated, and unalterable area within the RCTC campus that I'm a historical preservationist as a realtor, and my wife's an architect. We really like taking old things and making them new again, but please, this one's got to go. And in the end, this actually reduces the square footage of the campus and does a lot of positive things, and I've brought along.
When you finish this project, I've got a nice one back in Fergus Falls.
There we go. Yeah. Very good. Very good.
We need to talk.
So I do have Mary Davenport here with us as well today, so okay. She can give us more information.
Okay. Welcome to the committee, and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Nornes. Good afternoon, committee members. I'm Mary Davenport. I'm the interim president of Rochester Community and Technical College. With me is Vice President Steve Schmall, who oversees facilities and finance. It is a beautiful day in Minnesota. I drove up here from Rochester, not a cloud in the sky. And all that snow that we got the other night is melting, and we have buckets, and we have buckets. And we have buckets in Plaza Memorial to capture that water that's coming through our roof. And we have rodents that this time of the year they're trying to decide, do they come in or stay out?
Those are chocolate ones. These aren't the actual.
Oh, I was going to say it.
Chocolate mice.
Some might be a little squirmish around mice.
And we have a lot of them.
We can eat them, we're fine.
And we have faculty who use their special tool, this is a paperclip, to moderate their heat. It never quite gets right. It's hot in the summer and cold in the winter. They get snow inside their offices. So we appeal to you after about 10 years of dealing with this building to help us through bonding funds to demolish about 38,000 square feet of poor, substandard, inefficient space, 20,000 square feet of academic and student support space that we will right-size, renew, and renovate for modern classrooms, and correct numerous of life safety, indoor air quality, and code compliance issues. With this, we would reduce campus deferred maintenance, our backlog, by over $5.2 million, create new central chiller plant that will have expanded capacities to serve our entire main campus as well as eventually our sports center, and reduce our annual operating and utility expenses by over $143,000 a year. Our space utilization will go up. And really, we're looking at providing our students with the best learning environment so that they can accomplish their goals and go out and get a career. Those are the highlights, and I'm happy to respond to any questions that you have.
Representative Pulaski.
Chair, President Davenport, and this also goes to the representative. The bill was introduced on February 13th.
You want to pull your microphone down?
Oh, sorry.
The bill was introduced on February 13th, 2017, and it has $20 million. $385,500, and yet the system request is for $22,853,000. So was there a change in the amount over that year, and should that be reflected in the bill?
Chair Nornes, Representative Plowski.
7 point.
That would represent inflation costs. So the 22, it would be $22,853,000 would be the correct number.
So, Mr. Chair, and President Danport and Representative Pearson, then perhaps an amendment would be appropriate to change the number to the current number that's in the system request. Mr. Chair,
using that as a motion?
I'll make the motion for you, because I think that's what needs to be done to fix the bill. Okay, I'll make the motion.
You want to restate that then?
I would change in House File 111 the amount of the bill from $20,385,500 to the system request of $22,853,000. And it would have to go on 1.8 and 1.17. The changes would have to be made.
Okay. Any discussion on that amendment? Hearing none, all those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, the amendment is approved.
Mr. Chair, and then just one brief editorial note. I appreciate the fact that we're still using one bill from last year instead of introducing another bill. And I think this is the more proper way to have bills corrected. We don't need two. We just need one really good bill.
Right. Your point has been well taken.
Okay.
Every day we learn something. That's why this is a higher education committee. Any other questions of Ms. Davenport? Prior, Representative Prior.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If things don't go well this year in terms of the final bonding bill, would this be a building that you would still try to maintain? And would it be HEFR improvements, or is it just live with it until it can actually be completely remodeled?
Chair Nornes, Representative Pryor. This, it would be putting money into a deep, deep hole. So we continue to have buckets, have mouse traps, try to modulate the heat, and would try again next round. It's number three on the system priority list after Bemidji and Heber.
Mr. Chair, one more observation. You know, the $2 million difference is an inflationary difference. This does illustrate the need for a bonding bill. If we had passed it last year, we would have saved $2 million. And I think that that also has to be considered when we're looking at these bonding bills, that now we are on a race with inflation and certain types of construction costs, and it would be a good idea to get these passed early instead of incurring more costs later.
Good point. Okay. Anything further from members? You have another testifier?
Unless there's any other questions, I think we're
okay. Set. I said another name on my list.
We're good.
Okay.
Yeah, and I, as a member of the bonding on the capital investment committee, I definitely agree with what sentiments have been expressed here, and certainly the committee has toured and visited this site, and it's certainly a need that's a long time coming, and we hope to get it over the threshold this time.
You have newer buildings since that one, I assume, on the campus.
Yes, this is. And I don't even know, this isn't the oldest building on the campus either, but this is of an era where I would say the construction practices were inadequate.
Hmm. Chair Nornes, our building is a building with more added,
okay.
with more added, which contributes to the problem.
Okay. All right. Well, Representative Blanc.
Mr. Chair, President Danport, does this building have a flat roof?
Yes, it does.
Mr. Chair, as a charter member of the Anti-Flat Roof Society, when you build a pitched roof, they often last 50 to 100 years, and you can put the utilities inside, and you can monitor them 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. When you build a flat roof, there's only one thing it's going to do, and you've already told us, leak.
I think that's required by the Flat Roof Society.
This is the Anti-Flat Roof Society, and we've also monitored this before in higher ed and when I've been on capital investment. Pitched roofs, good. Flat roofs, bad.
I think we can all agree. Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I guess that's the extent of the testimony. Unless, did we give you a chance, Representative Pearson, to put in one last pitch?
No, thanks.
We have time. We really are pressed for time.
I'm in committee right now also. So,
are you?
But, yeah, but thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for giving us.
All right. All right. Well, thank you for being here for testimony. And House File 1111 will then be laid over for possible consideration. Any comments of any kind from the members? I know you're really tired of getting out of here early. So if you can figure out a way to stretch this meeting out, we could do that. But hearing no suggestions.
We have some special, Mr. Chair, thank you. We do have some special audience members.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yes, yes, that have been witness to democracy in action. And we can explain afterwards what it
meant. You're going to point them out or produce them?
Our red coats.
Yeah, they were in the previous committee as well, I believe, with some of them with red coats on. Maybe they could introduce themselves. And where are you from?